Hello and welcome to the Target Podcast, powered by Hollywood Bets. I'm your host, Deshawn, and with me in studio today is Mark Shadom and Superstitious Sony.
Afternoon, Desh. Thanks for the invite.
Greetings, gents. It's been a while. It's good to be back. It's good to be here.
And we're happy to have both of you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
I can't even remember the last time I was here.
All right, well, we are here to discuss all things Euro-related. Before we get into the fixtures of the quarterfinal stage, I want to know, Mark, what have you made about this fixture so far?
I think it's been a bit underwhelming with all the stars on show at the Euros, but maybe that's just a sign of competition. But nevertheless, with all the stars on show, they should be delivering, you know?
Yeah, lots of underdogs also stole the show. You look at Georgia.
Yeah, for sure. First time making their debut at the Euros. I think they performed really well. They made it out the group stages. So I think it was a memorable moment for them, especially for the nation. And I think they will be back again for the next one.
Yeah, I have to agree with Mark. I mean, it's a star-studded tournament. A number of teams have like really big stars that we expected a lot from them. But the way that they've performed is super underwhelming. Yeah. And in terms of the underdog, they were quite a number of surprises. And also, even Turkey, I didn't expect them to go this far. But they, what a game they had with Austria.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Big victory from them.
Yeah.
All right, well, speaking of underwhelming, let's start with England.
I think, that's straight to the point. I think England's been very underwhelming, low standards. I think with all the quality within the side, I think they've not reached their high standards yet. I think Gareth Southgate is under fire now at the moment. I think he needs to do something with the team. I think a change of formation could help. A change of personnel, I think, is more important. I think. With having the best player in Germany, the best player in England, the best player in Spain, you got to perform, you got to deliver, and unfortunately, it's not happened. And they got a tough fixture against Switzerland. Switzerland have been very good, so if they don't show up, if they continue to do what they're doing, play the way they're playing, I think Switzerland, with the form they're in now at the moment, with the way they've been going through this tournament, they could be in great danger in this fixture.
Yeah. Well, look, in the previous clash, Jude Bellingham stepped up and scored an acrobatic equaliser in the dying stages of the game. Why has it come to that?
I don't think they're converting any chances. Or better yet, I don't think they're creating any chances. Foden's been very quiet. Saka's not the same person. Kane, I expected a lot more from him, especially being the captain. The goal scorer he is, I don't think he's been demanding enough, as well as the coach as well. So I just think the whole gameplay, the game plan from Southgate has been wrong. I know he's a bit confused with squad selection because of so many quality players, but surely they got to deliver sometime.
I like that point. That the man in charge may be a bit confused, with the star power that the team possesses. But I don't understand why they can't, because all these players, they've been performing really well in their clubs. I mean, you look at Foden, he was scoring in almost every game.
He was a Premier League player of the season, and Cole Palmer was the young player of the season. Harry Kane broke records.
Yes,
across Jude
Bellingham
the
just lifted the
Spanish Cup.
Yes, and he was great. Mm. But when you compare him to those performances to how he has been performing in the Euros, it's disappointing. And Switzerland, if they continue to perform the way that they've been performing, they might stand them.
All right, Sony, I want to stick with you. Just now, Mark mentioned the fact that England are not creating enough chances. Southgate dropped the likes of James Maddison, Jack Grealish. I believe there was another player who, I want to say, maybe should have been there but didn't, but I won't mention him. But what do you think about the squad selection? Did Southgate choose the right players to do this job?
I think he chose the right players, but you can't stick, you know, to the same formula when you have such quality players. I mean, he could have rotated his squad, you know, and start with players like Palmer, you know, Anthony Gordon, you know, just to test the waters with them and see if they can, you know, produce
the results. Perform at the highest level.
Yes. I think he should have done, you know, such, because they are all big, you know, big players who are really performing in their club. They are capable of delivering. So I don't understand why he stuck with the same, you know, starting 11, where even when he saw that it's not really working out for him.
Yeah, of course, they nearly went out in the previous fixture. Mark, let's talk about England's defence. Mark Weah is suspended for this clash. Who's going to partner John Stones?
Oh, this is a bit of a difficult one. I know Lewis Dunk is there, he's available. We could make a case for I think you mentioned it before going on air that Kyle Walker may go inside and they can bring Arnold in. There's different ways to look at it. They can even try to go with a 3-5-2 and change the formation, because let's be honest, nobody in the England squad is still trying to play for a spot. Everybody's playing in that team. So with the group stages, he should have changed the formation and tried something else before reaching this stage, so that he could have found a formula or a solution to the issues that he's actually having now. So I'm not sure what they would do there, but I believe Lewis Dunk can slot in there. Ezri Konsa from Aston Villa can slot in there. I think he's quite comfortable in the defence. So,
you know, you mentioned Luke Shaw as well, who was included in the travelling squad, the final squad to go to Germany and play for the English national team. Yeah. He has not featured in these Euros championship thus far.
That was a bit of a shocker, because all the videos we see on Sky Sports and on social media, he's still trying to get fit.
Yeah.
It's already the quarterfinals. There's two games left, and then it's the final, and it's done. So I don't know if Southgate made a mistake there because there are other players that he could have taken.
Yeah, well, let's actually ask Sonny on that. Yeah. I know you support Chelsea. The likes of Reece James, Ben Chilwell, who would compete with Luke Shaw for a starting place in an England team. Now Trippier is playing over there. I mean, should he have chosen maybe a foot Ben Chilwell?
Yeah, I think he should have chosen a fit player. I mean, an unfit player, especially at this stage now. Mm. Even if he gets fit, it's kind of hard to like, you know, change.
Yeah, player because it's one thing to be fit and then match ready. Yeah.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
It's different.
As it stands, it's even harder now to like try and change the formation, because If you get it wrong, you are out of the competition.
Yeah, this is a knockout game after all.
Yes, too late. And you're playing a really dedicated team.
Mm. Of course, you know, that is Switzerland you're talking about. And you know, Switzerland, I want to say, in some fashion, dispatched the current holders of the Euros, Italy, in the last 16. Mark, what did you make about that performance?
Exceptional. I think Granit Xhaka, as a captain, is a true leader. You can see that everybody follows his lead. They respect him. They just well drilled. They play very well together, and they made Italy look like a normal fixture where they are the defending champions. So the way they went through that game, the way they scored the goals, I think that Varga guy scored a beautiful goal from the box.
100%.
So easily through the defense of Italy. They made light work of him, actually.
Yeah. And you know, there aren't any pushovers either, because prior to that one, they were leading Germany right up until the dying stages of the game, where the German striker came off the bench and scored, or rather he equalized.
Yeah. That
it shows how dedicated they are, how hungry they are, you know, to go far in this tournament. I'm really happy with them.
All right. Well, can you see them causing England any problems? I mean, we just touched on the defensive frailties that exist in that centre-back pairing.
Absolutely. With the way that they dominated Italy, I think they do stand a chance of beating England. And seeing how England has been performing, you know, if they continue like that, gonna be a problem for them.
Yeah, I must agree with what Keith says, and I repeat what the Swiss coach said. He said that they scared Germany. They beat the defending champions Italy and now bring on England. So I don't think they're afraid. I don't think they're intimidated by any of the players or the powers that England have. So I think they're a lot more confident, and England should be very careful in this fixture.
Right, I mean, let's be honest. Let's look at those teams that Mark has mentioned. Their
top
performance,
European powerhouse.
And then compare them to how England has performed so far in the tournament. That's why I'm backing Switzerland.
It sounds like you guys are saying Switzerland are favourites going into this one.
I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to say both teams to score, but deep in my heart, I want England to win. I'm an England fan, so I want England to win. But at the way they're playing, Switzerland could cause a major upset of you.
I'm neutral on this one, but I'm saying Switzerland is going to win, whether through open play or extra time or penalty, but my money is on Switzerland.
All right, we're going to have to wait and see how that one plans out. Let's move over to Spain versus Germany. A cracking encounter. I want to even say it's the final before the final.
Yeah, I agree with that. Two of the best teams, two of the most successful teams in Euro's history with three titles each. So the winner from this may go on to get the fourth one and be the outright great in Euro. So massive fixture on the cards, yeah.
Of course, Spain entered this round of fixtures in some fashion, dismantling Georgia by 4-1. Gift, what did you make about that performance? Of course, it was Georgia who took the lead through an own goal, but Spain hit back with 4 strikes.
Absolutely dominance.
35 shots from the Spanish team.
You see, absolutely dominant. I think Mark is right. Whoever wins this one has stands a better chance than others to, you know, lift the trophy. These are two of the best performing teams, you know, in the tournament. So it's gonna be a nice game. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, you know, all eyes are gonna be on Lamine Yamal and Nico Williams. I mean, the youngsters have been a different force for that Spanish national team, killing it on the wings.
I mean, they're so young, but they're playing like
so mature.
Like they've got like so much
experience
and knowledge of football. You know, they remind me of Coach Kgolo Kgotsobetjane. These boys are football itself. With the way they've been playing, you know, they play like they are football itself. So they are really exciting to watch. They show that you know, the future is indeed bright, and I'm looking forward to seeing them, and also in the upcoming season, you know.
Yeah, 100%. I'm going to stay with you. They come into this one with 4 wins from their opening 4 fixtures at the Euros. It's a perfect record.
Indeed, it is a perfect record. You know, it's Polish. You know, their performance, you know, and everything. That is why if the hosts are sleeping on this one, they're gonna get a really painful and heartbreaking wake up call. But right. Also, Germany, I don't think they're gonna drop the ball on this one, because they also have been performing well. They started well when they demolished Scotland, and they continued there, you know. So it's gonna be a great game.
Yeah, you know, speaking of the Germany attack, Mark, how impressed are you with Kai Havertz? I mean, the man has been so incredible for Arsenal this season, and he's continued that for the German national team.
He's been so good, and up to now, I still don't know what's his main position, but he's so good. He's so versatile. He's a team player. He's scoring goals. He looks happy. He looks like he left Arsenal to go to the Euros with the same mindset, with the same hunger to win. So I think he's been an exceptional addition to the squad. And the way he's delivering for the team is
I'm glad you mentioned his delivery. His output has been incredible. In fact, only Jürgen Klinsmann and Mario Gomez, who've both scored 5 goals apiece for Germany at these Euros, have netted more than Kai Havertz. I mean, that's incredible. And I'm sure with Germany still in the competition, he could equalize that.
Definitely. And those are greats that you're mentioning his name with. So just to be mentioned in the same breath with those names, I'm sure that brings a lot more hunger and determination in his game. And you can see that he wants to score, and pairing up with Wirtz and Musiala and Gundogan behind him and Toni Kroos. I mean, the list goes on and on. We can stand here the whole day speaking about it. So it's looking good for him.
Yeah, and you know, I want to say the German national team has looked good since Nagelsmann has been appointed. I mean, it's the first time that Germany have reached the quarterfinals of a major competition since Euro 2016. That's almost 10 years ago.
It almost sounds unbelievable, to be honest with you, because speaking of Germany, we know of history of how good they are, how many World Cups they win, the squads they have, the players they have. So for them to make it through with a young manager, I think he's brought a breath of fresh air to the squad, a good mix of youth and experienced players as well. And I think just the game style, the style of play that he wants his team to play, all-out attack with the youngsters going down to. So I think it's been very good from Nagelsmann up to this point.
All right. Toni Kroos has been one of the standout players for the national team thus far. We have to get your thoughts on how his campaign has planned out.
I think it's been remarkable. The game against Scotland, he broke a record. I think he had 102 passes, 101 completed, 99% pass rate, which nobody has done. So I think for Toni Kroos, for his last tournament, going out this way, I think is exceptional from his standpoint.
Indeed, this is a great way for him to go out. I mean, even in his team, Real Madrid, you know, did well, lifted a number of trophies, and he's doing well in this tournament. Hopefully, you know, he closes it off by, you know, lifting the cup. So what an exceptional player. He will indeed be missed in these tournaments.
Yeah, of course he's gonna be pivotal as Germany go and look to claim the trophy on home soil. But they're coming up a Spanish defense that is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah,
they've conceded just once at a tournament.
Yeah, no, Spain is a powerhouse. We know that they are a footballing nation. They tick-attack football, defensively very good, technically very good. So it's going to be a very technical game, and I think whoever handles the occasion better and whoever pounces on mistakes better, I think will win the game. But for Germany, I don't think we should count out the effect that the crowd will bring for Germany, knowing that they're the host nation. So if you're looking for a 12th man, I think the crowd will help Germany on, especially against a big powers like Spain.
Yeah. Sonny, I just want to get your thoughts on the experience that the Spanish team has, because Mark did mention mistakes. Now, you know, the likes of Joselu and Oyarzabal, even Ferran Torres, they're not really well kept if you look at some of their German counterparts. I haven't even mentioned Nico Williams and Lamine Yamal, who are probably in the single digits for national team appearances. Do you think Germany's experience could get the better of the Spanish national team's inexperience?
Absolutely. It will be a huge factor. I mean, it's mentally and, you know, physically. I think Germany will have to use, you know, their experience to their advantage, because those kids are hot, you know. I can say it's their only disadvantage that they're not that experienced in such tournament, whereas Germany is packed with, you know, experienced players.
100%. Okay, with that being said, give me your predictions, please.
This is difficult, man. I'm just, because they're the host nation, I'm going for Germany to win.
I'm
not letting Toni Kroos leave the tournament this early. I need to see him till the end. This is his last. We have to enjoy what he's doing. He's had a stellar career. This is his last tournament, so let's just enjoy what he's doing. Germany to win.
Can I sit this one out? I think I'm also going to go with I'm going with it. Let me give it to Spain. I mean, they also have experienced players. I mean, I think Morata is good, he's experienced. I think he can guide the boys, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and keep them, you know,
yeah,
in the right states of mind and directions. So Spain.
All right. Moving over to the next fixture, Portugal up against France. Now let's start with Portugal, and one man comes to mind, Cristiano Ronaldo. 4 games, 0 goals.
Yeah, but shocking. He is the record holder for most goals scored in the tournament. He's a record holder for most assists in the tournament. He's a record holder for most appearances in the tournament. So all eyes will be on him. He hasn't scored yet, but he looks a lot different in this tournament. Like we saw the assist to Bruno Fernandes in the one game where he could have taken a shot. His penalty was saved in the last game, unfortunately. But these things happen, and you know, tournament football, it can go either way on the day. And maybe in this fixture, who knows, things can come right. He could get 2 goals. He could score a hat-trick. It depends. But we can never count out the quality that Ronaldo possesses, and especially with Bruno behind him. Vitinha, who is so incredible. So, yeah.
Yeah, Portugal has a mountain of a task ahead of them. But with Ronaldo, every time when Ronaldo is playing, all eyes are on him. And when he was selected, there were already mixed reaction as to whether he deserved to be selected, or he should let, you know, the youngsters, you know, go.
Of course, it's coming off an underwhelming World Cup.
Yeah, but I think it's good that he's there, and he still, this is his chance, you know, to prove the doubters wrong. But hey, it's going to be hard because, you know, France is a formidable team. And with regards to, you know, being criticized for missing the penalty, that penalty.
Of course, you're talking about the knockout fixture against Slovenia.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, When you preparing for penalties against Portugal, you have to, your primary focus has to be on Ronaldo, because you know he has been one of their regular penalty takers, even at his club.
I think as long as he's on the pitch,
as long as he's there,
exactly.
Yeah, even in training, exactly. If Ronaldo's in your team,
that's
for
sure.
A penalty.
That's
and
for sure.
If you remember, well, even in the shootouts, the keeper dived
the same
right
way again.
Yeah, so yeah, I would love to see him, you know, bounce back and score maybe a hat trick, but I know they won't be easy.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not really easy for the Portuguese national team to actually find the back of the net. It was a goalless draw against Slovenia across 120 minutes, which followed a 2-0 defeat by the hands of Georgia, which means they really haven't scored in the back-to-back fixtures.
Yeah, they. Like we said in the beginning, like this tournament's been so underwhelming. I think Musiala, I think he's the highest goal scorer on 3 goals. So it's not been really wide open from the goal scoring standpoint. But I think things will change now with everybody out and focus on the quarterfinals and semifinals. I think the games will be a lot more serious, a lot more technical. So hopefully there's goals in there.
Yeah, you know, of course, this will be sort of a revenge match. The 2016 European Championship final, so Portugal actually beat France.
Yeah.
Can you see something like that coming back to haunt them?
Definitely.
But with the quality, excuse me, with the quality that the French side possess, it's going to be a tough game, and it's going to be a bit different from, you know, the 2018 match. I'm not saying back then, you know, those players went up to standard, but hey, this one.
Yeah.
I'm also looking forward to it.
Yeah, look, it's a very different team, you know, from both outfits. And, you know, if you look at the France national team, the players have really failed to score a single goal from open play across their previous 5 matches. They're in the knockout stages, and not just the first knockout, they're in the quarterfinals, yet no French player has scored from open play as yet. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's goals are hard to come by in the Euros this year. It's actually quite of a different scenario with so many stars and goal scorers on show. So it's actually worrying a little bit, but we know this stage of the tournament brings the best out of the top players, and like you mentioned, all these players, Mbappe will be there, Ronaldo will be there. So I think Mbappe will want to show Ronaldo who he is, and Ronaldo will want to show the world who he is.
Of course, Mbappe has contested a huge game looking at the World Cup final against Messi. So
exactly. Yes. So I think,
and he performed.
A hat-trick, mind you, in a World Cup final. Yeah. I mean, you can't make that up.
That's hard to come by.
Yeah, so this game is actually, it's going to be a cracking game, and I'm...
Well, you know, let's keep to Mbappe then, all right? Yeah. Because in the group stages, it was Mbappe who got injured. Mm. I believe it was the second game off the group stages. And then he came back in the third game, scored a penalty. But it wasn't quite the same impact that we've come to expect from the next generation golden player.
Yeah, definitely.
I think maybe the injury, it may have, you know, messed with him, you know, emotionally.
Yeah.
Mm. I'd like to think maybe that's the problem, because he has never been a player that has had issues.
So quiet.
Of scoring or creating chances, because I mean, he hasn't been that effective on the team. Hopefully, in this game, you know, he'll show up. And because all eyes will be on him and Ronaldo.
Is it actually the Ronaldo Mbappe show that we're coming to watch?
Definitely.
Has to be.
Definitely.
And 20 other players. Ronaldo versus Mbappe and 20 other players.
Yeah, teacher against the student. It's a teacher against the student.
I mean, if like, in 5 seconds, name a Portugal player.
Name Portugal. You're coming out to Ronaldo.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a good game. Like Mbappe really respects Ronaldo. I think that is his hero, his idol. He's always spoken about him. And to get to play a revenge match against him in such a big game, it's really going to be a very quality game to watch. I wouldn't want to be on the pitch, but sitting on my couch and watching is where I need to be, because the stakes are high, the pressure is going to be high, and I don't really want to see Ronaldo go home.
All right. Well, gents, with that being said, give me your predictions and who you think is going to go through to the next round.
I'm just going with what my head is saying, because I want Ronaldo to win and I want Cruz to win as well. So I want to see Portugal playing Germany. So Portugal for me.
France, I mean, N'Golo Kante has been doing the work, despite the overall team's performance not being, you know, up to expectations. Mm. But N'Golo Kante is a single player that has been, you know, outstanding for me for France in the tournament.
Even William Saliba, even though there were talks from Didier Deschamps in the beginning saying that he doesn't like the way he plays, there's certain things he doesn't like about him. Now you can't stop hugging him because of the way he's been playing. He hasn't lost a game since he's joined the French squad. He's got so many clean sheets when he's on the field. So I think Saliba is outstanding, if not the best centre back in the world right now. I'm sure he's amongst the top three, hands down.
Okay, thanks for that small Saliba insert there, Mark.
I had to put that there.
Arsenal fan TV is coming live. Yeah. All right, well, the final fixture of the round sees Netherlands up against Turkey. Now, Ronald Koeman's outfit haven't had the best of Euros. They qualified as one of the third best placed teams, not through direct qualification, and yet they find themselves in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, I think the last game against Austria, they were caught napping in the back. They lost the game 3-2. But nevertheless, they do still boast a quality squad. My only issue with the Dutch is the defense. I think going forward, they're quite well. I was very impressed with the midfield, with Reinders and
Cooper Meyers.
I forget his name. Anyway, that midfield pairing was so good in the last game. And they really know how to move the ball, the style of play. So I think his name is Schouten, Jordi Schouten. Yeah, I think that's a player to look out for if anybody's watching the Euros. If teams are looking for midfielders, I think these two players are exceptional central midfielders.
Of course, their opponents, Turkey, themselves have two exceptional midfielders in the likes of Yıldızlar and Güler.
Yeah, no, I think that's the future of Turkish football. And just talking about Turkey, the game against Austria, 4 months ago, Austria played Turkey and they smashed Turkey 6-1. And now they come back and they defeat Austria in the way they did, the way they played. The team that they've put together with the youngsters, like you mentioned, Guler and Hilders from Juventus, Kanaloglu from Inter Milan, I think he can control a game at any time. Yilmaz on the right wing has been exceptional. So this game is going to be tight. Nobody expected Turkey to make it this far, but the way they're playing, I don't think you can write them off.
Yeah, indeed, Turkey, they were like the ultimate underdogs, you know. I'm surprised that, you know, of their performances lately and them making it this far. And I think they're capable of, you know, shocking Netherlands. I watched Netherlands in their last game. I think it was the last 16.
Against Romania, you mean the 3-0 victory?
Mm. Yeah. They missed some chances that I felt, you know.
Should have been buried.
They should have buried, you know. So if with a team like Turkey, you can't afford to make those mistakes, because if they get their chance, they may punish you.
Yeah, you know, Turkey, of course, had quite a good, I want to say, group stage account. You know, they started with a 3-1 victory against Georgia before being humbled by Portugal, but they found spirits against Czechia, winning 2-1.
Yeah, the Dutch squad is also full with quality players, from the captain, Van Dijk, who needs no introduction. Memphis Depay leading the line. They got Reinders and Schuurten in the midfield. Mickey van der Ven from Tottenham, who's also an exceptional talent. So I think they just need to find the right balance. Koeman needs to find the right balance, come up with the right gameplay, and then just stick to their guns and do the right things. Daniel Marlin came off the bench, scored a brace. So they do have firepower. They just have to be very cautious, because Turkey, they can also attack with speed, precision. Arda Güler has an eye for pass. He's very good on the ball, very technically gifted. Hilders also has plenty energy to burn down the wing. So it's going to be very tight.
You know, I'm surprised you haven't mentioned Cody Gakpo as yet, who scored three goals at the tournament thus far.
There's so many stars there. I'm even forgetting Cody Gakpo in the last game was... I don't know. I haven't seen I haven't seen that side of him at Liverpool, and to see him do that with so much finesse, and he made it look so easy.
Absolutely destroy the left byline there.
I think he could be the Dutch best player of the tournament for the Dutch this time around, because he's been so good.
It's like he's selling himself, you know, like
he's additioning
for himself on the market.
It's like Rafael Benitez is in the States.
Yeah.
He's in the States, and he's like, recognize me. Yeah, the man has been exceptional, and it's exciting to see him, you know, performing at this level. Hopefully he won't sleep in this game, you know.
Mm.
He'll continue with this, and even when the season starts, you know, because it's always nice to see exciting football.
All right, gents. Well, with that being said, give me your predictions in this one.
I'm going with the Netherlands.
I'd love to see Turkey progress.
Mm. Yeah. I must say, this is the fourth fixture that you guys have disagreed on. There's only four.
No, I'm going with Netherlands just because of experience also and squad depth. I think squad for squad, I think the Netherlands have a better squad, but it will come down to game day. Like I mentioned, tournament football can go either way, and it will come down to mistakes and who handles the pressure better.
And I'm going with Turkey because of hunger and determination. You know, I don't think they will want to, you know, bow out of the tournament yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, at this stage, as much as they've performed well, I think they will want to go further. So all the best, you know, to Turkey.
All right, gents. Well, it's been a pleasure unpacking all things here related with you. We're going to have to wait and see how those predictions of yours play out. Until next weekend, cheers.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers.